Did you know that more than 3 billion people in the world cannot read, and that more than 4 billion people rely primarily on oral communication to assimilate new information? Well, the implications of these dramatic facts are many. The one I would like to focus on right now is that the Bible is a closed book to as much as 75% of the world's population until it's heard. And as the pamphlet I'm reading reveals, two-thirds of the world's population will never receive God's transforming word until they hear it. That's why a ministry called Faith Comes by Hearing has made it its mission to reach poor and illiterate people worldwide with the word of God in audio. Its goal is to record the New Testament in every language that has been translated, and then start a listening group in every church and village. Faith Comes by Hearing president and founder Jerry Jackson visited Vatican Radio with a couple of fellow members and sat down with Chris Altieri, who asked him to explain how it all started and how he proposes to reach as many people possible.
What I really have felt is the Word of God recorded can reach people who are non-literate, and it had to be in a completely, absolutely ecumenical setting. So the word evangelical or Catholic or any other term identifying a group becomes a great deal of concern for us. So it's just pure Word of God with no comment, no strings attached. It's just word for word recordings of valid translations done by valid translation groups. No paraphrases, no single person translations.
The Word of God is too important, he says, to do anything other than relay it exactly as it is.
So we work with Catholic translators, we work with Lutheran Bible translators, we work with Wycliffe, United Bible Society, all the translation groups of the world that have valid translation methodology.
And you got started with the Hopi Indians, right? They were the first group that you evangelized.
That's correct. They have a rich religious history. But there was two Catholic priests actually came to the Hopis in the 1800s and brought the gospel to them. A revival happened, if you call it a revival or awakening. And an old Hopi man told me that they as a tribe accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They burned all their idols. They converted. Missionaries came and translated the Hopi Bible. We had copies of it when we were there, but none of the Hopis had the print. And I said, why? And they said, well, it was translated, it was given out, and people could not read their own language. And so they turned it into an amulet, and they began offering corn on it in the morning and holding it up as a worship thing. And the missionary said, no, you can't do that. And so that stimulated in me then the need for having the scripture in print, but in a form that could be used by people who couldn't read their own language, which once they've listened to it, then they can eventually learn to read their own language and in cultures where there is no literacy.
One fundamental thing that neither Chris nor I have yet mentioned is that once the gospel has been translated and then recorded, an audio Bible in the shape of a small battery or solar-charged digital audio device called a proclaimer is produced and distributed to churches and villages across the world. Right now, plans are underway to record audio Bibles in 2,000 different languages, including Latin. But getting back to basics, Jerry pointed out that the audio Bible's effects are multiple.
This gives them their first piece of reading material that they can have, which is a scripture. So not only will they learn to read in some of these poorer places, but they will increase their moral values by learning to read from Scripture, and they'll improve their social situation because they're learning to read. And so there's tremendous value. And people will learn to read for spiritual reasons when they won't even do it for economic reasons.
Can you talk with me a little bit more about this proclaimer? What I read about it is pretty amazing. It sounds nigh on indestructible.
Yeah, actually, we had some of these in South America when there was a flood, a hurricane, and some were underwater, and they thought they were ruined. We said, well, let them dry out. They dried out, and they played.
The best person to talk about the proclaimer, Jerry pointed out, is Laurie Koch, Manager of International Programs at Faith Comes by Hearing.
What we're talking about is the Proclaimer, which is a self-contained digital playback device for the audio sacred scriptures. When we record the sacred scriptures, we record it exactly as it was translated and written down. We have a special scripting process that divides all of the character parts. There's 180 character parts in the New Testament. We use 25 speakers. Sometimes the people groups are so small and there are so few readers that we can actually use non-readers by following a prompting method where they listen and repeat what a literate person has just read to them. And because of the technology that we use, we're able to take out the pauses and mistakes so that the reading of the sacred scriptures is completely fluent, even among people who are not fluent readers.
Well, for sure. The one I listen to is beautifully done. An array of professional speakers do the readings, which are tastefully dramatized in the sense that some sound effects are used, and different voices and intonations keep the attention of the listener alert.
And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him,
"Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?"
And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea,
"Peace, be still."
The actual recording is the scriptures as they were translated and written down. So there's nothing added. There's nothing taken away. It's the New Testament word for word. But we do break it up into the different voice parts, and we add a certain drama and emotion. So, for example, when the disciples think that they're going to die, during the storm and the flood, you know, it's, you know, "Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die?" And when Jesus is dying on the cross, you hear the pain and the suffering in his voice. And I actually have testimonial from Mexico, a man who, very literate, has read these scriptures hundreds and hundreds of times throughout his lifetime. But it wasn't until he heard it in a dramatized format that he was able to understand in a new way the true suffering of Jesus on the cross. And he said that was something that affected him very, very deeply. So even literate people who have read the scriptures during their lifetime admit to hearing something in a new way when they hear it in audio.
"Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?"
And they were filled with great fear and said to one another,
"Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
So, Chris asked Laurie, is this intended mainly as a tool of evangelization, or does it reach out to people who have maybe already heard the gospel, but whose faith and knowledge of the scripture haven't been sufficiently nurtured?
Is both and. We're working through the existing church with people who attend church regularly, but they have not had an opportunity to experience the full counsel of Scripture because they can't read it, or they can't read it well enough to really understand what they're reading. And so a lot of times the audio becomes a bridge to literacy where they can open up their printed Bible, listen to it, and improve their ability to read so that they can access it through the printed word on their own. We're also seeing a lot of new evangelization taking place, reaching people, if you think of, you know, in India and in Indonesia and different parts of Asia where the gospel has not penetrated at all.
Troy Carl, National Director of Faith Comes by Hearing in the United States, offered to explain some of the technical aspects of the initiative, which he says brings together ecumenical zeal and a good dose of technical know-how, as well as a distinct flair for the dramatic.
Probably the most significant realization we had as an organization was that after 30-plus years of working diligently to get the Word of God in an audio form so that people could engage in it, was that technology would create a way to get it not just to the general village or to the general public, but all the way down to the individual person. And technology is advancing so rapidly with over 5 billion cell phone users in the world. If you think about 6.8 billion people in the world today, 5 billion of them have a cell phone. And even in the most poor areas, that doesn't mean they're not connected. And so we began to develop a platform, because it wasn't enough to just create an answer to a need, which is what most organizations will do. They will create a software package. They'll create a piece of an element of usage, right? So they'll create an app. They'll create a piece of software. They'll make a download capability. They'll make a zip file. And we had to step back and say, we think there's a greater responsibility that we have over currently over 511 languages. 150 plus new languages of the New Testament are being recorded every year. Within just a few years, we'll have over 2,000. This is it would be like the Amazon of the Bible, the Amazon.com of the Bible.
Only you're giving it away, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's our foundation. God's word is free to everyone. And of course, the gospel is very clear that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to every nation, and then the end will come. And so we felt an obligation to create a platform that would empower the church, the body of Christ, all around the world, to know where they can get access to the scripture, the Holy Scripture, in their own language. So we began diligently building a platform. Of course, cloud-based technologies is now something that's not a dream, but whether we realize it or not, people are interacting with cloud-based technology, which is servers all over the world interconnected, that you can practically do this thing. And with the ubiquitous use of cell phones and digital readers and iPads and iPhones and Androids and everything else that's coming out that we haven't thought of, let's build one format.
What he's saying is that you don't even need the little black proclaimer to listen. Today, thanks to digital technology, we are all connected. We just have to find out how. Meanwhile, there are also details such as the fact that both the text and the audio are available, and it is possible to jump from one reading to another at choice.
Well, of course, you have to have the text in order to do a recording, right? So serendipitously, we turn around and we not only have all of these texts, but we also have the audio that goes with the text, which in illiterate populations, that's a wonderful thing to help with literacy, is that you can follow along and learn to read as you're listening to the scripture. So we've integrated the two. We've integrated, and of course, technology almost requires it, right? It's expected that I can interact with this content in multiple dimensions. Read, listen, who knows, there may be video eventually, or what other technology that would be mashed with it. But we've created one platform, we call it the Digital Bible Project, where all of the languages are in one USFX XML feed, so internet radio stations around the world can subscribe to that feed through an open application. We don't give up the integrity of the content by allowing people to just download it, but rather real-time access, streaming and interacting with the content in real time. And I think people would be surprised when they learn how easily someone can access it if they know it's there. And that's probably our biggest challenge now, is just letting people know it's there. Did you know you could get the Bible in your own language on a phone? You know, how do you do that?
Time was running to a close, and so much more could have been said about the new venture in Latin, which is why Jerry, Laurie, and Troy were here in Rome in the first place, about how they work in partnership with other ministries, about the thousands of testimonies of people in poor or remote areas whose lives have been transformed thanks to the Word of God.
I would say that the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, tell us that the Great Commission that we were all mandated was that God's Word to every nation, language, tribe, and tongue, and that every person on earth would have free access to the Scriptures in the language they pray to God in. And the whole project is designed to develop, to take advantage of the technology that's been made available so that we can fulfill the Great Commission as the Lord commanded us.